passion, drive, and patience. What brings home the winning trophy is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. From superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more, whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to turn your car into the MVP and bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Last week on the Poison Rana Patreon, we talked all about WWE Backlash 2004 in a brand new episode of Reviews from the Six.
Okay, so old Yeller here, the old man coming back for one last match, one last hurrah. He's going to get put down by the
23-year-old
kid, 23-year-old. How old is Mick Foley here?
Fuck, you're going to tell me he's like in his 30s, aren't you? He's not. He's like 42.
He's 38.
Wow.
Put in perspective, he's the same age. Listen to this class of 38-year-olds wrestling today. Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, The Usos, Charlotte Flair, Drew McIntyre, Matt Riddle, John Moxley, Chad Gable, Matt Cardona.
Wow. 38-year-old.
Yeah, they're all done. They're all past it.
Old Yellers.
All these old Yellers. 38.
Get this show plus NXT retro reviews, wrestling reviews, movie reviews, and so much more over at patreon.com/poisonrana, and it's only $5, so what are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for, huh? What are you waiting for?
Poison Rana.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Take it each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you could never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next. You found us at postwrestling.com, whatever podcast app you are using, and of course,
youtube.com/postwrestling. Hello, YouTubers. Hello, Postmarks.
Hello, NXT friends.
Friends.
Friends, yes. It's Tuesday night, which means we're going to talk about some NXT. We just watched it, and we're going to review the whole show. Spring breaking is long gone.
Mm-hmm.
We're away from the spring, and now it's spring, but we're almost here. It's summertime.
It's barbecue season.
Barbecue season, yes. We finally barbecued for the first time this year.
Yeah, we watch NXT on the network, and this is the first time in a long time. Well, we've been very delayed starting this. I thought we'd be starting way later than this. We started watching NXT at 8:41 p.m.
And we still made it.
And we finished,
I'm sorry,
3 minutes later than we normally do.
I really wanted ribs.
Yeah,
and it was a nice day.
It's just crazy how many commercials there are.
I'll tell you right now, off the front, any barbecuers out there, serious. We had a listener who was our spice guy. That sounds like he's like a drug dealer, but no, he sent us spice. And I'm blanking on who it was, but anyone out there, barbecuers, give me your barbecue recipes, tips, and anything related, because I want to barbecue a lot this
summer. And ways to like not get
it all stuck in your teeth.
Yeah, or in your face. Right now. Barbecue sauce on your face and everything. Not you, no. Not, you're good. But I also love that, too. But yeah, I love barbecuing anything. Veggies, meat, fish, doesn't matter. I'll barbecue it. If it's alive, no, wait, no. I'll barbecue it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Eggs.
I don't know if you could do that. I'm sure if you looked up, like, TikTok barbecue recipes, ramen. You'll find up. Yeah, like, you'll find some weird, like, but you could barbecue anything if you put your mind to it. Welcome to Up Next. We're going to talk about some NXT and everything that's going on. We went live on Sunday on our Poison Rana feed. Go search Poison Rana, one word, in your podcast app or on YouTube to check out our thoughts on WWE Backlash from this past Saturday. And I can give a spoiler. Our thoughts were phenomeno.
It's that song's been stuck in my head.
All week.
It's fantastic.
We put it on quite a few times the other night. Shout out a friend of the show.
Yeah, we had a weird Cinco de Mayo where we were just playing this French song all day, dancing around our living room in lucha masks.
Yes. It was Cinco de Mayo on Sunday, and our friends at Demand Lucha were part of this Cinco de Mayo fest that the City of Toronto and the Harbourfront Center put on right outside of our house. For the first time ever, we could look out our apartment window and see wrestling, see Lucha Libre. It was pretty interesting and pretty great. So we went downstairs. We had some great tacos. Shout out Gus Tacos in Toronto, the best. And then we watched some Lucha. And you know we love Demand Lucha, but the fact that they were literally outside of our apartment was just so funny.
It was fantastic.
It's like our favorite guys. So Jordan and the whole Demand Lucha team are my favorite. And for anyone in the Toronto area, their next show, Thursday, May 23 in Parkdale, Toronto, they're doing the biggest Lucha show ever. At least for me. This is crazy. Let me hit you.
Is it Super Crazy?
Super Crazy and Tommy Dreamer versus Los Medicos.
Wow.
Gringo versus Lince Dorado, Rhino versus Seraphis, and then Alex Shelley versus Jack Cartwheel, and then a bunch of other matches.
Nice.
And Tim.
Tim's back. Love Tim.
The Extreme Lucha Block Party. So Demand Lucha. We keep running into listeners of us and some friends over there at these shows, and it's such a fun time. So we'll be at that next one for sure. So
absolutely.
Shout out Demand Lucha. But yes, we talked about Backlash. We did a whole rundown of some WWE releases, including some NXT people. So please subscribe to Poison Rana if you can. And on that very free feed, you can also hear Wei Ting and myself joining John Cena and B Detroit on a very special impromptu edition of What Up Doe, where we spent about 2 hours dissecting the whole Drake versus Kendrick rap beef. So for any rap beef people, the best are the comments I've been getting today who are like, wow, thank you for breaking this down because I had no idea what any of this meant and why everyone's just angry and what the fuck's going on. So you want a breakdown, we got you. And we also give our thoughts and opinions. And then at the very end, we pick our 5-star rap diss, which one we all like the best and all that kind of stuff. So it was a very fun conversation, and shout out B and Cino. Every month they do a What Up Doe, but we thought it was a great special edition. So we had a panel on for this fun chat. So go check that out as well. So all for free on the Poison Rana feed.
Awesome. Yeah, we've got a bunch more coming out as well this week. You're going to be recording with Scrump. If you've been listening to this show for a while, you'll know that whenever I disappear and Scrump comes up on the show, you end up just talking about Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
And it happens to be a certain anniversary happening.
Yes. Legit today, actually, is the 25th anniversary of Brendan Fraser's The Mummy. I say it's like his movie, but fuck it. It is his movie. And we are going to talk about it. So while you're away this week, next week on Up Next, Cino's going to be jumping in to fill in for the NXT chat. But while you're away on the Patreon, Scrump is going to jump in and we're going to chat all about this movie. We're going to talk about Imhotep, the Book of the Dead, Brendan Fraser's glorious hair. It's going to be a fantastic show. So can't wait for that. And that's going to be out on the Patreon. And you'll get that show this week. You'll also get Backlash 2004 that we just put out, which was great. Mick Foley, Randy Orton. You're also going to get our review of what movie am I watching this week?
So this is coming out next week.
Okay, sorry.
But, tomorrow we'll be recording Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Who picked this?
As picked by our world champion family member, Mahmood. Last time I think we were chatting to him was about Ratatouille.
Right.
And we've talked about The Godfather.
That's
with Mahmood
right.
Before. And now we're going to Indiana Jones 3.
He went right to the third one.
The Last Crusade.
They're all really good. I mean, actually, The first three are really good. The rest, whatever. But yeah, I'm actually really excited. I am a huge Indiana Jones fan. So you movie buffs, you got two exploring movies this year. The Mummy this week, I mean. The Mummy and...
Yeah, archaeology.
Yeah, exactly.
It's archaeology month in the BDE. Yeah.
For some reason, we're movie heavy in the next little while. But yeah, super great. Going to have some fun with these podcasts. And it's only $5 to join our Patreon and you get access to... all these shows and everything in that back catalog. So go give us a shot and support your boys because we have some fun on them podcasts.
Talking of shots, we'll have a new episode of Shot in the Dark coming out with John Cena, breaking down everything that's happened in the last week of wrestling that you might have missed, like women of wrestling and Ring of Honor.
I mean, yeah, everyone wants to talk about Drake and Kendrick, but for those who watch Women of Wrestling, you'd know BK Rhythm. It's one of the best rapping superstars of all time, and I know Cena will definitely be mentioning her in every week she's on TV. But I miss my dog lady on WoW. She hasn't been in a while, but then they started a cat and dog tag team. I think it was called Animal Control.
There's a cat woman as well.
There's legit a cat woman, meaning she dresses in like a Catwoman type like bodysuit.
I'm thinking of the I've been rewatching some of Always Sunny recently.
Right.
I'm thinking of Dennis's ex-wife who turns herself into a cat.
Okay. Yeah, kind of similar. Yeah. I've seen the picture of that. Yeah, kind of similar. And now I'm trying to think that what else was going on. But WoW's is such a fun watch as well. But yeah, Cena is shot in the dark, covering everything, all the wrestling that you may or may not watch. And then trying to think of what else. We're not going to be going live this Sunday for Poison Rana. You're away in Vancouver. You're going to be at Collision.
Yeah, so I'm off to BC tomorrow evening, like hopping around a bit of British Columbia, and we'll be in Vancouver at the weekend for Collision. So looking forward to that.
Excellent.
It looks like it's selling pretty well. So we're looking forward to find out. I'm assuming maybe Kyle v. Copeland.
That could be pretty sweet.
I know Cope is on Wednesday, but hopefully can do a Vancouver show, especially Kyle being from there, right? So looking forward to what I'll see there, and I might try and record a little quick something while I'm at the Bell Arena, is it? The Rogers Arena?
Just think, you could see...
It's one or the other, isn't it?
You could see cool Kyle versus angry Adam.
Yes. Throwback.
There was a time we used to name these shows, and every week I could try it. I would try to put Cool Kyle in it.
Cool Kyle versus Mean Pete.
It's my favorite show title.
My favorite worst show title.
It's the best one we've ever done. Cool Kyle versus Mean Pete. Those are old Up Next references for y'all. That's because this show is, what, 6 years now?
6 years.
Up Next.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at us.
I had someone, there's this guy, he's a little odd, semi-regular at the bar. He's a Brit.
Right.
And comes in and he just talks a lot. And he found out today, because we're chatting to another regular about podcasting, and said, oh, I want to do that. Can you help me get it started? I want to do this. I'm like, kind of busy. He's like, no, please help. I was like, all right, what do you want to do, a podcast? Like, well, I don't know, really. It's like, yeah, then no. Like, come up with a better pitch. Like, sorry, I'm between here and recording pretty much the whole week. Like, no.
Yeah. Shout out all the podcasters out there. Yeah. We love you. We love everybody. I think we had a fun time this past weekend going to a few different bars. We did we talk about the Godzilla VR? Because that shit was crazy.
We did on Behind the BDE.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, you know, well, maybe you don't know, but we have a show called Behind the BDE, which is like the family member world tier on our Patreon, where like if you are one of our family members, you get access to one of these shows per month. We recorded one last week and it was beautiful out. So we recorded it during the day just outside at HTO Park in Toronto. And this has to be one of the funniest things we've ever recorded. I'll tell you, I do not listen back to our podcast. It's just something, I'm busy. Like you said, I can't listen to myself to have the same conversation with you. Why would I do that? I was there. I can remember that conversation. So I usually don't listen to our podcast back. But the other day, after recording this podcast, I was thinking to myself, like, how did it sound of us describing your relationship with a fugitive? So you want to hear about this conversation while we chat about the tough questions such as who would win in a fight, a pit bull or a kangaroo?
This is true, yeah.
Not the rapper pit bull.
No.
He would not win in that fight, I don't think.
But, no, probably not.
But anyways, tooting our own horn, and check out behind the BDE. If you're thinking, I'm thinking maybe I can pick, you can also come on and pick stuff, and this is how to become a family member, and you get access to this show, and it was a wild one.
I'm trying to find, the trial was meant to be yesterday.
You're saying too much.
But looking at this person's Instagram, I think she's pulling a bit of a, like, you know, Vince McMahon in the neck brace, Harvey Weinstein with the walking frame.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm saying too much. Yeah.
Patreon.com/PoisonRana. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, boy. It was a doozy. It was a good one. So check that out. So WrestleMania is going to be in Vegas next year. You going?
I've booked a hotel just in case.
Right.
And I'm glad I did, because I looked at the same hotel the next day and it doubled in price.
Whoa.
Already. So,
holy.
Yeah. Like, it's a while away, but I potentially would like to go. Yeah. But I don't want to kind of get to, you know, December and go, you know what? I want to go and then see the cost.
So you can cancel your hotel.
I can cancel.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. I figured as soon as it was announced, things would be more expensive, because like for us here in, to go to Vegas, it's usually kind of cheap, but to do it when there's like a special weekend, a holiday or something, the prices tend to be way more like fluctuated. And hopefully that's not the case. Like, I feel like it could be really fun. I've done Vegas once. I'd like to do it again. I'd like to go with like a big group of our friend groups and stuff. But I just don't know if wrestling, the casinos full of wrestling fans is like, I'm like, oh, but it's still a big city.
Well,
but
I picked a place that has a pool. And I don't think I'm going to find many of the wrestling fans by the pool.
Hopefully not.
That's my plan most of the time.
You're not selling me on it, but yeah, I know what you mean, yeah. Maybe you'll see some wrestlers at the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, WrestleMania in Vegas. I mean, that's confirmed, and that's pretty cool. That stadium's pretty big. It's a big, you know, entertainment mecca.
Yeah, I'd be interested if they announce anything for the Sphere.
NXT.
Yeah.
NXT in the Sphere.
Would be cool.
SmackDown in the Sphere?
They're doing something
in the Sphere. They have to. You'd imagine.
So. It looks so cool.
Like some sort of... could you wrestle in there? I don't know what it would...
I don't know.
Yeah, weird. But be pretty sick. Get Axiom in there. Sure. Who's got like crazy visuals and stuff on there, like screen... You know, some of the Wyatt 6 stuff in it. Or I don't know. But yeah, wow. Just get Downstate to play it.
Sure. Yeah.
Sold.
Wrestling concert at the Sphere.
Limp Bizkit headlining.
Yeah. Limp Bizkit, Downstate, Pitbull,
with the Weeknd.
The Weeknd.
Weeknd headlining.
Yeah.
With Limp Bizkit opening. Saliva. Get all of them. Edgewater.
Oh, and then we also have Eagles Don't Hunt Flies coming out this Friday.
Oh.
Sorry, yes. I think 1 p.m., I believe. Dickie's in the chat right now. Correct me if I'm wrong. They're going to go live on Friday on our Poison Rana feed. And they'll be talking about... John Moxley in Japan, part one.
Excellent. Nice. So lots and lots of shows. Again, follow the socials at Poison Rana Pod for everything that we do. I managed to check out some of Monday Night Raw last night as well.
Pretty good.
I mean, we lost our boy, Ilya Dragunov. We've been hiding him from the world.
Yeah.
Over here in NXT. And finally, I feel like the world got to see a little bit of a glimpse of what the Mad Dragon can do. And boy, did he shine in that match with Ricochet. I mean, easily one of Ricochet's best matches since coming to WWE. And what a match that was for Raw. A great, great match. And Dragunov right away, people who were like not sure about this guy or who's this guy? By the end of that match, they realized, this guy's actually pretty good. And I think he has it just overnight gained himself a ton of fans.
I think this tournament is actually going to be great for him. And it's something we've been saying. How do you get Ilya Dragunov over with a new audience? It's just let him wrestle. It's the same formula you did with Gunther, which is just go out there and have great matches and show why you're different and why you're special. And I thought he absolutely did that on Monday. And I love that I've been saying this, I feel, for a long time. I wish they did bigger tournaments. Whenever they do a tournament, it's an 8-person bracket or even a 4-person bracket, and it's like semi-finals and you're done. I like they're doing... It's 16 people, you know, 8 on Raw, 8 on SmackDown. It's like it makes the tournament feel a bit bigger. It takes a longer time. I like that they're even throwing some of these matches out on house shows and things like that, giving them some stakes. But I think... It's a great way of showcasing an Ilya Dragunov. I believe he's going to be in there with Jey Uso next week, and then I could totally see the Raw final being Ilya and Gunther on TV.
Which is great.
Which is
crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed this this week's Raw. Just, you know, all tournament matches for your Queen of the Ring, your King of the Ring. But Raw with the draft now, like, I mean, Sheamus and Gunther had another banger.
Yeah, it was good.
And I can't wait to see Sheamus getting in there with an Ilya Dragunov or a Drew with an Ilya. And, like, there's so many different combinations now where Raw, like, it looks pretty exciting from the wrestling. I thought it was a great wrestling show last night.
Yeah, I thought the main event of Sheamus and Gunther was great as well, and good rematch from, like, a little while ago that we've been waiting for a rematch for that one-on-one. But real stories, like, wow, that match with Ricochet and Ilya, and I feel like right away this guy, like he's one of the best wrestlers alive right now, and like it's almost like Triple H had this ace up his sleeve against anyone who's talking. Oh, you know, Ospreay and Danielson, this, like, imagine any of those two guys against this guy. Oh my god. But like,
and has been perfectly hidden away until the time's been right.
Exactly.
You know, he's been hiding in NXT UK where Vince and Nick Khan were never looking at their spreadsheet of who to fire.
They didn't even know they had an NXT UK.
Exactly. And then he came into NXT at that time. And now the time's right for Ilya to
Triple
be
H is plotting
the world.
Yeah, again, the ace up the sleeve is Ilya Dragunov. Because right away, people would be like, yo, who's this crazy Russian dude? And there's some great big matchups down the line. And right away, showing him off like that on Raw was done purposely. So I'm excited. And will get me to check out his stuff on Mondays. CM Punk, mm-hmm. I didn't really like his promo on Raw, except for, like, before he goes and cuts the promo, he just savagely roasts
Jackie Redman.
How the Maple Leafs doing. Oh boy, that was fucking hilarious. But his promo was weird. He gets crickets when he mentions the choke artist thing.
He's tried like three times now to bring up, you know, stuff that happened, and people are like, I don't know what that is.
So that's kind of weird, but okay. Because never forget, we're going to get Jack Perry versus CM Punk at WrestleMania, mm-hmm. like 45 or something. But the fact that he's like, Drew, I'm going to stay here the whole time. Anyway, see you later, guys. It was kind of like, oh, okay, anyways. So I didn't necessarily like, he did try to bring in some of the Kendrick lines, I think, saying like, I hate the way you walk, the way you talk, all that kind of stuff.
I think what he was going for, again, it was like he was trying to recreate the Hangman Page thing.
Yeah.
You know, calling someone out when they're not there or not supposed to be coming out to make them look like a coward. That's what I was getting. He was like recreating that. But the fact he says, like, I'll see you in Glasgow, I imagine that's where we're getting the match, which I think puts like a lot of interest on. Like, we were kind of saying, you know, I thought Backlash over delivered, but was a bit of a lackluster card, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the worry is that WWE will see, oh, we've got this hot market, they're going to be crazy, whatever we give them, so we don't necessarily need to give them something big. Whereas I think Punk v. Drew is pretty big to be putting on that show. So
it's the main event, really.
I would assume
that's his first match
and
back.
And his first WWE match, essentially.
Because the Rumble didn't count.
And Dom was a house show, and doesn't count.
Yeah.
So, like, it will be his first, like, big match, really.
Right.
So I think that makes that show huge.
Yeah, it sounds like he's ready to come back. That sounds like it could be the main event for that show. And I mean, any Toronto area people, I know it might be in the afternoon, but we are planning on doing a Clash at the Castle watch party. In fact, the reason we're wearing these Austin vests is because we just got these prizes for future shows and stuff, so we're both rocking them right now. But we look good.
Yes.
We should just wear Austin vests all
the time. Yeah, those just listening right now, not watching, we are wearing replica Stone Cold Steve Austin vests, which will be prizes, and that you could win if you come along to
Clash of the Castle. But yeah, that was pretty good, and it seems like wrestling's pretty hot. We kind of gave all our thoughts on Dynamite and everything like that. I'm excited to see what goes on with the Kenny stuff and everything. So reminder to check out Poison Rana, because I see some people in the chat bringing up Gable Steveson. We did a whole discussion about the releases and Steveson and all those other things. So search Poison Rana and check out those shows.
And finally, just to clarify, it's 6 p.m. Eastern time this Friday that Eagles Don't Hunt Flies will be going live. I got my time zones mixed up.
Okay.
All right.
Well, hey, while you're still plugging, I can plug too. Chop-tees.com.
Hell yeah.
/PoisonRana. Check out the snapbacks for the summer. We got all these different Poison Rana merch there. There's the new logo with the name on it. There's the one with the frog on it. Join the squad. You've seen us at WrestleMania weekend. We were looking like a football team walking around these casinos. Everyone with the frogs on their heads. We were taking over. So join in and be a frog. Be a poison pal. And check out all the merch we got going on. And support your small town favorite podcasters.
Yeah.
In the big city.
Are we a small town?
No, we're in the big city. Oh, yeah, okay. Small time, I meant.
Yes. Shall we get into some NXT?
Let's talk about it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
NXT from May 7th, 2024, live from the Capitol Wrestling Center. And we start with a video package hyping up Wes Lee. It's going to be his first month back, first match back after 5 months away, I think they said. And he goes into his injury a little bit in this video, saying that he had 3 ruptured discs in his back and required surgery. And he says, I should have listened to people when people were saying about kind of my style and stuff. And he says, I flew too close to the sun, but now I'm out of the ashes, rising like a phoenix, and it's time to go back to work. And then you see Wes in the backstage area. They do the, I'm calling it the Sami Zayn thing now, you know, right. the long shot. As you got, you know, your lower card there, your Hanks and Tanks of the world applauding Wes as he walks. As he's in tears, walking towards Gorilla, and it says, he says, it's time to come home. I like the way they open this, focusing on Wes here.
Yeah, like he's created such a star in himself in his NXT run, and it got cut short, and we weren't really sure. And it was kind of radio silence up until now, and finally coming out with that, like just showing up was like a big shocker to me. And seeing this, saying, hearing that he is okay and that he is wrestling tonight, it's very pretty emotional. Like, this guy could be a big deal in WWE.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely, he's been through a lot, and his partner got fired and he was here, and he kept going and really thrived, honestly. And it was a shame, because I think if that, without that injury, he'd be probably NXT champion by this point.
Still definitely see him.
He
be
will
the
be
champ,
yeah,
before moving up. We go to our opening match. Josh Briggs taking on Wes Lee. If you remember, Josh Briggs took exception to Wes Lee wanting to jump the line to go for the North American Championship. But as Booker is saying on commentary, he's like, really, it should be the interim championship because, you know, he vacated.
Yes.
He never lost it.
Yes.
Wes sends Briggs into the post on the outside and then hits a head scissors, sending him into the barricade. There's a cardiac kick attempt from Wes, but gets caught in a backbreaker. And this is where Ivar comes out before we go to commercial break. We come back and Briggs is just in control, and he's targeting that the formerly injured back of Wes, hitting backbreakers, knees to the back. Wes comes back with a double stomp to Josh. And then at one point, I realize I thought it was Sam Roberts on commentary, and then you tell me, no, that's Ivar.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, he didn't sound like he looks, this guy.
Yeah, yeah, Ivar definitely doesn't. He looks, his voice is a little higher pitched, yeah. I think, than he looks, but he joined the commentary like halfway through the match, yeah.
There's a sidewalk slam from Briggs, and then on the outside, Briggs kind of gets sent into Ivar, and Ivar goes crashing into the barricade, and this allows Wes to throw Briggs into the ring and hit the spiral tap for the win.
Yeah, showing us his back's okay.
I was going to say, maybe retire that move.
Because you spin like six times and land on your back onto someone. Yeah. That's pretty nuts, but holy cow. Okay, so yeah, I kind of like where... I like this match, but it felt like it was just a match to set up some future matches. Because if you're saying Wes, Ivar, Briggs, and Oba are all like in this North American title picture, then should we just have some like multi-man scramble kind of thing that we've seen Wes excel in the past when he was here as a champion? But because it felt like the story was more still going towards Ivar, where I'm like, hey, I feel like there's a better match that if it was just Briggs versus Wes without this kind of story going.
I agree. It didn't quite hit for me. We know both these guys can go. And it was, it didn't quite click. It was cool seeing Wesley back. He still got some spectacular moves, but it definitely felt more of a stepping stone to where we're going.
Also, Briggs has been like kind of babyface heelish, but yeah. I feel like the crowd usually likes him. We're in his corner right now. But he should have came back and fought someone who's like straight up heel. Like, squashed them.
Killing Alexis King, that kind of thing.
Right away, yeah. Yeah, that maybe would have made more sense.
After the match, Ivar and Briggs start fighting, and we see Wes hits a somersault sent on, taking them both out, as Obafemi is watching on from the perch, laughing. So, yeah, I imagine a, like, Fatal 4-Way or something.
Fatal
like
4-Way at the UFC Apex?
Yes, at Battleground. We go to the Jobber locker room. Here, where we see Tyreek and Tyson.
Jobber locker room. This is the tag team locker room, clearly. It's all the tag teams, but...
Yeah. It's Tyreek and Tyson and Tank and Hank with... Come on. Tell me when I'm telling lies.
Yeah, all right. I mean, the tag champs are there, too, but...
They're with Axiom and Fraser.
No, but Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson come in there, too.
Tell me when I'm telling lies. Yeah, Tyreek and Tyson are like, you know, one day we'll be able to call ourselves champ. When No Quarter Catch crew walk in and say, ha, you can't just come in here after a week after losing your first match and say you're going to be the champs. And Tyreek and Tyson say that they were, well, yeah, we were beaten by veterans, though, and we had a good shot. And Dempsey tells them that he will show them pain. and then... Tyreek and Tyson explain that they're not afraid of pain. They can deal it out and they can take it. And they start getting arguing and they leave the locker room as Gallows and Anderson walk in.
Hey.
And they really want a two sweet Axiom and Fraser. But they're like, nah, we're good, man. And so the Axiom and Fraser walk off and Gallows and Anderson are left going, ah. That's why those two brothers are going to lose the tag team titles.
They also mention, oh, those Raw and SmackDown teams, which is like, we've already seen that. And we just saw them with like not Raw and SmackDown guys. But I guess Axiom and Frazier watched SmackDown when AJ asked Cody to two-sweet them and they weren't going to fall for that.
Men just love to touch each other's fingers.
There's something about it, man. Yeah. Same with the scissoring, right? Like, we see it all over the place.
Yeah. So
that might not be the men, but...
Yeah. this scene just made me realize that the division is lacking right now, for sure.
Like, sorry, Tyson and Tyreek. Like, you did impress in your first match, even though you were booked to lose, but then you're asking for the titles already? Come on.
Yeah. And, the rest of the division right now are... All people I can only think of losing. It's Malik and Idris. It's Hank and Tank. It's Gallows and Anderson.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We go to Carmen Petrovic versus Shayna Baszler. Lola Vice is in Shayna's corner. Natalia is ringside for Carmen.
Yeah. Shout out to Carmen's new entrance.
The, like, Kill Bill silhouette.
Yeah, I thought it was Uma Thurman here. Yeah. She just, like, got this, like, crazy visual thing that she swipes the sword and then it cuts to, like, herself and like very cool. And she comes out with this sword just ready to kill people.
Yeah. Did The Rock give her this?
No, I don't think so. But it does look impressive. She did. She. It's very Kill Bill. It's almost like her gear
was Kill Bill inspired. And
yeah, Uma Thurman was the only one in Drake's corner in this whole beef. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Oh, really?
She was like,
I'm aware of nothing.
Wikipedia. Someone edited like the different sides and the teams, and it's like everyone on that side, and then Uma Thurman because she tweeted like a few weeks ago, like, "Hey, do you need this?" And it was her jumpsuit.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of looked like this Kill Bill thing. I like this. And Carmen's trying to get revenge on Shayna from the fight pit or the underground.
Yeah, because Shayna chokes her out, which caused Natalya to kind of lose.
Yeah,
the match.
So we're getting to this match.
So Shayna's dominating. She's choking Carmen with her foot in the corner, starts manipulating the arm, does the stomp to the elbow. Petrovic comes back with some nice looking strikes and kicks and sweeps the leg. She's been watching her. Karate Kid.
Cobra Kai.
Yeah, sweeps the leg.
New season coming soon.
Oh, yeah.
And a movie.
Season. And a movie?
Bro, how much fucking karate can these kids do? They're splitting the final season into two seasons, and then they're doing a movie.
Hell yeah.
I love when Carmen does that kick. The, like, fake out. It's like the
backwards kick.
Fuck, is it Mortal... someone's going to be angry, but is it Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat when one of the guys, that's their move when they, like, do the, like... I don't know how to describe
like
it.
Like, stutter with the leg?
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
She sweeps the leg, hits, like, a Robinson special, and then Carmen leaps off the top rope, but gets caught in the Karafuda clutch and taps.
Yeah, I thought... kind of didn't give enough to Carmen here. In fact, like, what would it have done if you just gave her that win, actually, to maybe get some steam behind her over Shayna? Like, it wouldn't really hurt Shayna, I don't think.
I don't know. I feel Shayna is someone you could build up to be more credible when you need. I think watching her, I think she looks so smooth in the ring and so, like, legitimate with her.
I don't know.
Like, kind of submissions and striking.
I've always not been a huge fan of Shayna Baszler, but then I watched her at Bloodsport. I was like, this is a completely different person. And then when I watched this match, I'm like, no, this is just the WWE Shayna Baszler.
It's just the little things she does that I like. Even just like when Carmen's coming towards her, getting into the ropes, and like her ring awareness seems really, really good. And I think maybe I didn't watch Bloodsport,
right,
but I think trying to incorporate that more, but I think you could have still showcased Carmen a bit more. Her strikes look good.
Yeah, like she could be a big deal here, especially within the look and the background.
But this isn't like what we got with Lola and Natalya.
No, it wasn't. It didn't hold a candle to that.
I think we're still kind of continuing these pairings though, because after the match, Lola comes in to celebrate with Shayna.
You know how she celebrates? When her friends win matches,
yeah,
she also shakes her bum.
She shakes her bum, and Shayna, like, she raises Shayna's hand and is, like, shaking her bum. Shayna pulls her hand away and looks at her and is, like, looks kind of disgusted, but also laughs and is also kind of likes it.
Yeah.
She's like, okay. Because Shayna's so, like, straight forward, right?
Yeah, always mean.
Yeah.
But who doesn't like people shaking their bums?
Yeah. We see Kalani Jordan backstage, and she just doesn't know why Fallon Henley turned on Thea last week.
Okay, I like Kalani Jordan, so I'm not knocking Kalani Jordan, but why was this in the script that she's just so... she's standing watching TV. She's like your dad, or when I watch wrestling after a few too many, just standing there, arms crossed, watching the TV, like, furious, like, watching the sports game, like, watching the Leafs, like, last weekend. Just, like, she's so angry, standing, when it's recapping Fallon, she's like, that fucking bitch.
Yeah.
How could she do that to us?
She's like, she could have talked to me, she could have talked to Thea, anyone. What kind of friends do that? And one of the random girls with her goes,
like, sit down.
Not a real one. Facts.
Yeah, I couldn't find these people in the calendar.
In the calendar?
Yeah.
No, they're in next year's calendar.
Oh, is there one?
Fallon Henley then walks in, and Kalani's like, yo, I thought we were friends. Fallon says, I spent my entire life helping my friends, but now it's me first, and I will be the first North American champion. And Kalani goes, girl, what happened to you? And Fallon's like, are you kidding me? You've seen, like, all this shit I've been through? And they start to fight. So this sets up a match between those two later in the evening.
Yeah. As far as, like, up-and-comers here in NXT and the women's division, like, these two are definitely two, again, some promising people. I think Kalani just starting out here real fresh, picking up wrestling aspect of it very quickly. And Fallon, she's been wrestling before WWE, and she has just been kind of chilling down here. I don't necessarily know if the heel turn is the best way, but if it's meaning more of her and more showcasing of her and her getting closer to like the top than like all the power, like her focused more, then like it's better. But I'm still not like,
it's always difficult when a character is so babyface and then it's like the next week they're trying to debut the new heel.
Now I mean,
and it's just like so drastic.
It's like a switch flip. Yeah, it's
yeah.
Like,
it felt a little forced this week, but it's,
they tried their best last week with like having her getting like left behind, yeah, shoved, and etc. Whereas this week is just all of a sudden she's just mean. Which, okay, like again, I think Fallon is a better maybe actor than some of the others on here. So like giving it a chance, but 1 week removed, I'm like, why are you all of a sudden just acting this way? It's like, okay, we'll get there though.
Girl,
facts. No printer.
We go to the first part of the women's combine harvester.
Oh yeah, the combine. What was that song you were singing?
I sung it at karaoke on Saturday.
Is it a real song?
It's a real song, the Wurzels.
Okay, so some people said that you were singing the wrong song. You were singing the right lyrics, but the wrong song last week.
No.
Were you singing the right way?
There's another song.
That sounds like
the same tune. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sung by like a female, like country artist or something.
So what, they stole the flow?
I assume the Wurzels one is the cover of it, but it's from like the 70s.
Okay.
The Wurzels. Okay.
Combine.
I got a brand new combine harvester, and I'll give you the key.
Now I got a brand new bicycle, or something like that.
Come
the
on
other
now,
one.
Let's get.
Yeah.
To,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great song.
So we go to the combine.
It's the PC, and basically 20 of the best women in NXT are going to go through these tests that are going to test in speed, power, strength, and conditioning, and they're going to get scored out of each thing, and whoever's got the most combined points, the top 12 are going to go through into qualifying matches over the next couple of weeks, and then the six winners will be in the North American Championship ladder match.
Yes.
And this is all stuff they legit do at the PC, testing them, like throwing medicine balls, weightlifting.
Yeah, so they showed
10-yard dashes, that kind of thing.
They'll cut to different ones through the show, but here on the first one, they focused on this sled push.
Sled push.
Like you run with these weights on it,
yeah,
across, and then the
10-yard sprint and the in-ring shuttle, which is running the ropes.
Wow.
And it says that two women broke to the top of the leaderboard after this round, which was speed, and that was Thea Hale and Kalani Jordan.
Wow. Very nice.
I kind of like this, actually. Instead of, you know, normally it's just Adam Pearce comes out and goes, these are the six people in the elimination chamber or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like showing actually what they are doing in the PC. And you see there's, you know, Raw and like new Raw superstars like Ivy Nile and,
yeah,
and people like that still going to the PC.
See, like they've shown the PC before and they've always done it where it's like an angle where it's like someone walks in while someone's training, like, oi, I'm trying to fight you, I'm mad at you. And then they fight, where it's like, you should show maybe non-angle stuff of the PC. Like, a lot of people, they have in passing in the past, like, hey, the wrestlers, you know, pulled a plane this week in a charity or something like that. But they should focus on sometimes not, you know, fake stuff. Sometimes they should just show you, like, hey, this is what some of us
are
doing.
How athletic these people are. Like, someone's broken a, you know, they've got, like, the weightlifting record in the PC.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Like, if someone breaks that, put it on
TV. Show it. Show it. Talk about it. Just, like, here and there, little things could, like, help and, like, oh, hey, look who we signed, and these people are going to be the future. Things like that could go a long way. And I know it sucks because they just cut some people that were, like, from that TV show, and they tried the PC stuff. But to see, like, I'm sure this is swayed in some way for TV where they're saying,
yeah,
hey, here are the best workers and the best strong and fast and stuff. But it was a different take on seeing the PC.
Yes. And we go to our next match, which is Tyson and Tyreek versus the No Quarter Catch Crew, fought under the catch clause, which means you don't know who they're facing until the bell goes.
Who's it gonna be?
And it's, well, we're about to find out when Alicia Taylor announces that the referee is unavailable, as members of the family, Luca Crucifino and a couple of heavies, are stood by her. And then we hear that the referee taking over, having just got their refereeing license, is Stax, Stax runs the ring and does his best Charles Robinson slide.
Wow. I mean, say what you want about Stax, which is always good things from us. What a ref slide. Vic really loved it here. But wow, he really practiced all the ref spots for this bit. This reminds me of something you'd see, like the Italian mobsters took out a ref. That's funny.
Yeah.
Them being like, yeah, he's unavailable. And then it cuts to the, like, they're like threatening her. Like, yeah, he's not showing up. Okay, well, where is he? Trust me, he's not coming. So we got another ref. Oh, who's the ref? Stax. Oh, okay. It's kind of funny. I thought it was pretty clever.
The two that are facing Tyson and Tyreek are Miles Bourne and Charlie Dempsey.
Yeah, I thought it was Crash Holly for a second. So
he's cut his hair short, hasn't he?
So Miles has dyed as he went Slim Shady.
He was always blonde, but he's cut it short. It's now like shaved and blonde.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it is a new look. Yeah, I think it's different. So at least, at first I was like, whoa, he looks like, for a second, I thought it was the Holly haircut.
Tyson hits some nice running, rolling uppercuts, like Cesaro-esque. Tyreek comes in. Tyson then misses a stinger splash to Bourne in the corner as Bourne takes over, tags Dempsey. They try to double team, but as they're trying to double team, Stax has like pulls Bourne out the ring. He's like, no, one at a time, one in a ring.
Or like right away, I think it was Tyson goes for like a quick near fall and Stax is like, 1, 2, and the key kicks out really quickly. Like, what the hell? You're counting so fast.
Tyrese then comes in and takes both members of No Quarter Catch Crew out with a double clothesline, followed by a power slam, but Bourne breaks up the pin. There's then this huge German suplex with a bridge from Dempsey, which looked really nice.
Yeah, he dumps him on his head and has the bridge held there, and then Stax is like, oh, I don't know if his shoulder's clear.
Down.
And he's like trying to clear it, and then finally he's like, oh, okay, I think they are, and then 1, 2, oh, he kicked out.
So Dempsey gets mad, shoves Stax. Stax punches him in the face, and Dempsey gets rolled up with a fast count. So Tyson and Tyreek pick up their first win.
Wow. Okay, so I thought this was pretty funny with them messing around and screwing with the No Quarter Catch guys, which is leading to the cup on the line, I'm sure, and all that. But good to see like the new team get a win after they should have just won last week instead. But here they win, and I guess going forward will give them some sort of like momentum. But
yeah, they're focusing on them. You do need to build up this division, as we were saying.
Yeah. But I'd still say from last week, it's Tyreek.
I think it's Tyson. It's the bigger guy. I mean, they're both big, but one's got a bit more of a belly on him, and he's a bit more impressive. And
yeah. I'd say the same from last week. Like, he still shined a bit more. But so far, fun stuff. And Charlie Dempsey hits some pretty good-looking wrestling.
Yeah.
And Miles Bourne. Like, I do like these wrestlers. I'm not too into the, like, No Quarter Catch Crew. It's when they call it...
They lose too much as well.
Yeah.
Even though they got the Heritage Cup, they lose way too much.
Well, their friend was murdered, so...
Before then, though, like, I just feel they're very, like, 50-50 on them.
It's when they say no CC whatever, when they abbreviate it, I'm like, guys, I'm out. I'm sorry. Yeah.
NQCC. We go backstage to Ariana Grace with Gigi Dolan and Chelsea Green. And Ariana just thinks it's fabulous that Chelsea's there. And Gigi is just sat between them in the middle looking miserable. And Chelsea says, I've worked with Nasty Adam and Sir Nicholas the Prickless too much. And it's really nice to be back here. And I found someone as amazing as me. And Chelsea says that she's going to go out there and win the NXT Women's title tonight for every pageant queen and for ourselves. And Ariana goes, and Georgina. Yes, and Georgina. And they leave all excited, and Gigi just looks miserable and says she can't take it anymore, and she's done. So Gigi Dolin has quit NXT.
I took it that way. I don't know if she meant I'm done
I think she's just done with Ariana.
We'll see. But yeah, you could take it like, I'm done.
They should have. I feel like I haven't been enjoying this thing at all.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't found it funny. But I feel like here, you could have at least had her dress up as ridiculously as Chelsea and Ariana are as well.
Yeah, she didn't even do that.
Nah.
So she's done.
She's done.
It's great to have Ariana and Chelsea because they're both like the pageant like queen. So that was funny.
Kelly Kincaid interviews Roxanne Perez, and Roxanne says, tonight is not about Ava or Chelsea, it's about me. She says that she's the face of the brand, two-time champ, and the main event, and that's why they call her Prodigy. And no one likes Chelsea on Raw or SmackDown, and I don't like her here. And a few weeks ago I sent Lyra and Tatum packing, well now I will send Chelsea packing, and you'll hear the same thing, and still. Good promo, I thought.
Yeah, she's really coming into her own in this.
She's
this
settled
character.
Into it completely.
Yeah, and I have no fear of her eventually being on the main roster and this working, because I feel like it was maybe the same thing where it's a bit jarring at first, where she's trying to be really mean and everything, but slowly coming into it. And as the champion and delivering, like, that's definitely, she's getting better and better.
We go to our next match, Ariana Grace versus Meechin. Meechin, Mia Yim coming down from the main roster.
Last time she was down here, she had a different name.
Yeah, now she's Meechin.
Meechin. The Chin?
Meechin.
You ever watch Fairly Odd Parents? The Chin?
No, have you?
Yeah.
Oh. Ariana starts by waving her finger in Meechin's face at her chin, I guess. But Meechin grabs it, and so Ariana stomps on her foot. Meechin stomps on her foot. It was a bit of a silly start to the match. Ariana then grabs a cross arm breaker, but this gets powered up by Meechin into a one-armed power bomb. Meechin then goes for a sunset flip, but Grace kneels down, kind of the Brett Bulldog spot, and grabs the ropes, but the referee catches it. There's then a pin attempt from Meechin, and then a German suplex followed by Eat Defeat for the win.
Does she call it that too?
That was Soul Food.
It's Soul Food is right. Hers, right? Yeah. It's weird that she's down here. I guess she doesn't really have a whole lot going on. But I always thought
she's with the OC, isn't she?
I guess
also down here
for reasons. But I always thought Mia Yim, Meechin is a good wrestler. But I always feel like she doesn't have maybe like a story, a character, or something going on that they maybe like focus on. They've tried a few times in NXT specifically, but I always think she's a good wrestler. This match was pretty quick though.
Yeah, I'm the same. I enjoy Mia Yim's wrestling. I can't think of anything of note that she's done on the main roster apart from just hanging out with Gallows and Anderson, really.
Yeah.
I kind of hope we see her down here a little longer. I think she could be a challenger for Roxanne. Not someone I see getting the title, but I think could get a pretty strong match out of each other.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
But yeah, I would like to see her try and like develop a bit more of a, not necessarily even a character, but learn a bit more who she is, you know? Because I think her story's like, she's gone through some hard times, if you will. And
sure.
But I just never have felt that big a connection with her, despite all that.
Yeah.
We go backstage to Ridge Holland and Thea Hale. And Thea's thanking Ridge for helping Chase U last week and says that sometimes she feels like she just doesn't make any sense. And Ridge says, no, Thea, you make sense. You know what? I have a daughter and you remind me of her. And I hope that my daughter has half the passion you do. And this is where the rest of Chase U come in. And Thea says that Ridge is so great to talk to. And this is where Lexus King comes in and says,
blah, blah, blah.
He's saying, this business isn't for everyone, Ridge. Because, you know, Ridge retired like a week ago and then didn't. Yeah, something like that. Then insults Thea and Ridge's daughter in the process. So Ridge kind of gets into Lexus King's face. And Duke is like, wait a second. Steps in. And calls Lexus a narcissistic airhead, and he shouldn't talk to Thea that way. And Chase then tells Ridge that Chase U always has each other's back. So Ridge is like, okay, all right.
It was almost like, hey, Ridge, see? Chase U always got each other's back.
We got each other's back.
So, like,
come join us, Ridge.
Maybe they'll have Ridge enroll so he can learn more about how to not injure people,
maybe,
or something. I don't know, but yeah. Ridge and Chase U.
We go to the Supernova Sessions with the metaphor Noam Dar, and Noam almost introduces the guest when Lash cuts him off and says, "Skirt, skirt, skirt." It's a very special guest.
Sorry, what did she say?
Skirt, skirt, skirt. And Noam's like, yes, sorry, a very special guest, Trick Williams. And as Trick's coming out, Noam's turning to Lash like, Lash, what? And he's like, he's the champ. He's the champ. You should big him up. So Trick Williams comes out and Noam says, we've made a very special video for you. And it's just showing Trick since the title win. It's showing him on the bump with Ivar. Sam Roberts.
It was just a quick video showing him now as the champion and stuff. But as always, when he made his entrance as well, here the crowd giving him a big reception.
And Trick starts by saying, let's talk about it. And Noam's like, well, yeah, of course. That's why I brought you out on my chat show.
We're going to do that.
To talk about it. Trick says he's not here for the games. He's just here to find out what is in that envelope that Lash Legend held last week. And
the whole world wants to know.
It then got a little awkward here. I felt like they were treading on each other's lines a bit or whatever. And they pulled out this picture and it showed a match from a while ago between Dar and Trick where Trick pinned Dar, but Dar's foot is clearly under the ropes. And Dar says, that was the win that gave you the momentum to slay the Mad Dragon. And it just shows that your whole rise is a lie.
Wow.
And I'm going to expose you. You're a con. And then it gets kind of a bit weird again because Trick kind of stands up and Noam just keeps going, you're a con. But felt like he lost his way a bit.
Yeah, and the crowd were chanting, like, he's your daddy or something like that. Trick daddy or something like that. And then Trick brought up the Maury show.
Well, then after that, Oro then brings up that his foot was under the bottom rope. Trick asks if Oro speaks English and says that he'll smack him back to the motherland. And then says he'll smack the knot off of Noam Dar's head. And goes, and Lash, why are you acting like you're on the Maury show? Because Trick Willy is not the daddy.
And then the crowd chant, not your daddy.
Not your daddy. And then he asks Lash to tell them. And they're like, tell us what? And Lash is like, look, babe. And then trot in it. And Trick says, yeah, well, you know what she calls me? Trick Willy Wonka. Now Lash is saying, hey, Trick, look, this isn't the time or the place. Trick's having some fun with it. And then Noam, out of nowhere, knocks out Trick.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, it got off the rails a little bit, but I... Trick's got like the promo aura, whatever it is, going down because he's so funny, man. Like the thing they're teasing is, yes, Trick and Lash are a couple in real life. It's become kind of public knowledge and they've been teasing it in these things. And this is the furthest they've gone now with basically confirming like, hey, you're actually together is basically what they're teasing. But to joke around saying, yeah, she calls me Trick Willy Wonka.
Trick Willy Wonka.
That got me howling, not going to lie. So... only to get beat up by Noam Dar, which, again, leads us to believe this is our main event for the Battleground show in a few weeks. So I like this. Again, Trick makes me laugh. And as the champion, he comes across as a champion, the way he dresses, the way he talks and acts. And, yeah, there was some, like, whatever slip-ups here. But in the end, it was having me laugh. And I think Lash Legend is also really funny. Like, all the Metaphor people are funny. Jakara, like...
Yeah.
Aura, like everyone in there, and Trick. So actually, like, I like him interacting with them.
It was a bit up and down for me. I thought there were some like messy moments, but also some really good lines. I thought it was Noam Dar who was a little weaker. He just felt a little off in this segment to me. But what I did like was how the whole segment was pretty fun, and then the knockout kind of came out of nowhere, and you felt like the crowd went quiet as well because they were like, we're having fun there.
Yeah, we were expecting...
You know, it almost was... Not to that extent, but, you know, Festival of Friendship, how that was all just silly and playful, and then suddenly it turned dark. And it kind of got that, and I think Noam Dar is now trying to show a bit more of an edge. I just thought his, like, delivery and, like, the dialogue bit was a little weak today.
Maybe he's going for that. Like, less jokey, and maybe he wants to prove that he's, like, championship worthy. But... We weren't the only ones who watched the segment and had thoughts on it because right when we came back, they showed a tweet from rapper Sexy Red, who
Love
tweeted,
Sexy Red.
Man, What the fuck did I just watch on Supernova Sessions? Metaphor better watch day back, because Trick Williams going to be on day ass now. So they posted this, and now all the wrestlers have been going back and forth with Trick and her. I'm wondering if we get an invite. She basically is a rapper that came into fame in the last year or so. She's got a song with Drake. That's pretty popular, and I'd say that's what people know.
Is that
know
a good thing anymore? I don't know.
I don't know, but maybe we'll see her on NXT next week. That would be she's tweeted about wrestling recently, and it got kind of picked up because it sounded like she got a producer of hers to sample Shawn Michaels' theme song.
Okay.
In a beat, and I'm furious because it's amazing and it's awesome and I can't wait to hear it. But Shawn Michaels also tweeted some things inviting Drake and Kendrick to NXT this week or next week to mediate for them. But I think we have maybe more of a chance of seeing Sexy Red.
When's Ollie J coming back?
Yeah, I don't know if we need to see Ollie J back, but maybe she'll show up too. It could be a whole hip hop episode.
Skirt.
Ollie J a rap? What did she do? She sang? Yeah, I don't think she really did any of that.
2.0. We go to part two of the combine, and it's the power portion. So they're doing now the vertical jump, the broad jump, where you've got to jump forwards and keep your balance, measuring horizontally, and the rotational punch. And it's showing how Meechin and Jada Parker did the best in kind of the power portion of this.
The jump looks pretty crazy, because if you fall or land and then fall, it doesn't count.
It's a standing jump, so no run up, just jump 2 feet to 2 feet and not falling.
It looked like Jada, it looked like Sol Ruka, it looked like a few of them had some crazy hops here. Mm. Yeah.
And then we cut to a black screen where we just hear some snoring.
Yes, we come back and it's just black.
Okada?
And it's snoring and it's snoring. And right away I went, oh, it's Wendy Chu.
Nice.
I imagine. Yeah. I imagine so. So, sleepy Wendy Chu.
Do you see I know this is obviously in reference to her gimmick, but do you see any change of gimmick to her coming back?
Yeah.
It's kind of a bit of a different NXT since she left, I'd say.
Yeah, I feel like the sleepy Wendy Chu character was silly, but maybe it was just not done right. We would always critique it and be why isn't she doing the go to sleep, or I don't know. There's little things she would do, the hand sleepy motion as a move,
elbow
as
drop.
as a chop, and it's that, no, don't do that. Do other stuff. I don't, the sleeper.
Yeah, I'm just wondering whether you can have
a normal person
kind of ease this out.
Yeah,
these vignettes are to bring her back.
Yeah.
And to get you. You hear the snoring. Oh, it's Wendy coming back.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a bit more of a change.
Yeah.
And a bit, something a little, she can still be fun, but just be a bit more of a normal person.
Exactly. A real person, which I think would help her a lot. Or she comes back and she's sleepy and then she gets taken over by a demon.
Because you look at Raw and SmackDown now, there aren't a whole load of gimmicks.
Right.
Really, are they? Think about it. Everyone's more a real person, and they're either a good guy.
Well, it's been a while since she's been on TV, but she was going for the Orange Cassidy thing, right? That's definitely what they were going for. And I don't know, maybe there still is room for that. If done properly. But if she comes back and she's doing those sleepy elbow things, that's not the way. But Boa's gone, right?
Sorry?
Boa?
Boa's gone.
Enzyli.
Mm-hmm.
So Tian Sha, what was her name?
Mei Ying.
She could come back as that, the demon Mei Ying, but I don't know if that's worse or whatever, but sleepy Wendy Chu coming back soon.
We see Carmen Petrovic apologizing to Natalia, and she goes, Natalia, you took me under your wing and I let you down. And Natalia's like, hey, I lose all the time, it's okay. You've just got to find your edge. And she says, karate is all about self-defense, whereas wrestling is about offense. And as they're walking through the corridor, one guy tells Natalia, hey, that underground match last week was sick. So he's like, thank you very much. And then this other guy goes, hey, yeah, you lost, but you're still a smoke show. So Carmen turns and kicks him right in the head. This looked pretty good.
She looked like she nailed him in the head.
Yeah.
Clocked him here. Yeah, I didn't quite understand. They don't usually do this kind of stuff on
it. It's her finding her edge, her offense.
Yeah, and Natty was like, oh, yeah, more of that, more of that. More of kicking people in the head, which I agree. So I see big things for Carmen.
We go to our next match, Kalani Jordan versus Fallon Henley. There's some nice back and forth at the beginning here, and then a big handspring back elbow from Jordan. Fallon comes in with some stomps and punches. She's showing a bit more of a like aggressive side in her wrestling here. Kalani starts fighting back and then hits a somersault leg drop. And then a nice leapfrog counter sequence between the two.
Yeah, Kalani was doing a lot of like escapes where she would like flip and land on her feet, or like one of that side headlock, like satellite counter. Like,
yeah, it looks like Fallon goes for like a deep six almost, and it gets countered into this headlock takedown, which looked really nice. After the break, Fallon has locked in like the money clip, the $1 million dream.
Wow.
Which she's introduced. Everyone's favorite submission move.
Is this because it's like the top shelf, the bar? Is Fallon still doing that?
She did come out with a rag.
She did. And the music is the same.
Yeah.
So
Kalani starts hitting all her RVD moves, the step over, wheel kick, and then goes for the overdrive, which she hits, and then attempts a handspring elbow again, but Fallon kicks her in the gut this time. And as Fallon is going into the corner, Kalani's wrestling her off, and the turnbuckle pad comes off. There's then a monkey flip from Kalani, and then Kalani gets popped up and lands shoulder first onto the exposed turnbuckle, allowing Fallon to follow up with the Shining Wizard for the win.
Yeah, so she didn't like send her face first into it, but she still sent her like into the exposed turnbuckle. Yeah. So still kind of cheating to win here. But I knew Kalani wasn't going to win this match because she hit the overdrive.
You hate that move.
I think it's one of the worst wrestling moves ever. Explain to me in what way, shape, or form someone in a fight would try to use this maneuver to try to win. I don't know. Call me crazy.
Do it tonight.
Find someone.
Just overdrive you.
See if it hurts. I don't understand how it would hurt, but I guess
you're driving the head into the mat.
You're really not, though. You're really not. You're like slamming your own knee into the mat. No matter how many times you
right
watch it,
right in the neck. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, but you know what? I think both of these two are again some promising talent, and I do love Fallon. So even though Fallon might, it's kind of weird that they all of a sudden she's just acting this way, and it might take a bit for her to feel more comfortable in a heel role, but I think that's the best for her.
I thought her, it came across in her wrestling though as well, was showing more of an aggressive side.
Yeah.
I thought this didn't quite click as much as I'd like to. I think both have, like Kalani especially has some cool moves, but it felt like they were setting up each spot.
Yeah.
I felt it didn't seem to flow quite as nicely as I thought they would, but it wasn't bad. We then see the No Quarter Catch crew, and Charlie Dempsey says, "You want this Heritage Cup? Tony D, fine, you get your match. But we have the power, because the power lies in the catch clause. And you can watch all the tapes of us as you want, but you won't know who you're facing. And how does it feel knowing that you don't hold the power?" And as he's cutting this promo, Miles Bourne and Damon Kemp are just pacing back and forth behind him the whole time. Just pacing.
Yeah, this is when he brought up NC. What is it? NC?
NQCC, Braden.
We got to get a shirt that just says that on it.
NQCC.
NQCC, yeah. But he's telling Tony that he's got control.
Yes.
We'll see about that.
We go to our final Women's Combine segment, where we see this is now conditioning, I think. Power and conditioning.
Power and, the throw.
So we see Lash, you've got to like throw a medicine ball over your head behind you. And Lash launches this thing.
Okay, I know she was in the WNBA, right?
Yeah.
Like, she's got the basketball background, but holy crap, she whopped this. That thing went crazy. It showed everyone else afterwards.
They then go, Ren Sinclair was impressive too, and it was like,
no, she wasn't.
You should have shown Ren first.
Yeah.
But then Lash, legend. Oh. She really impressed. Because this was,
yeah.
Ren's just went like, doop.
Yeah. Wow, Lash. I mean, we've seen her lift. Who was it? Otis?
Yeah.
So, like, we know she's got that strength, but holy Lash.
They say that Meechin and Izzy Dane also did well in the power, and then in the conditioning, it's all about cardio, fitness, endurance, and stamina, and Ivy Nile from Raw won in the conditioning. And then Ava is interviewed, and she's asked who are the top 12?
Yeah, so they put together, Ava here gives us like the rankings from this combine, which give us our top 12 of the talent here who are going to be in these like qualifying matches. And number one with the overall of 95 was Sol Ruka. Number two with a 93 was Thea Hale. Number three with a 91, Jada Parker. Then Brindley Reese with a 91, Meechan with a 91, Fallon at 90, Lash at 90, Ivy at 90, Izzy 90, Kalani at 89, Tatum at 88, and Ren St. Clair at 85. Look at that.
Look at
a ranking system.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like it.
It works. Who would have thought?
Who would your six be? Who do you see the six being at?
Well, I'll go straight to the two I think is winning the whole damn thing, and that's number one, Sol Ruka.
Oh, okay.
I'm picking her just out of, like, I think she's been one of their big talents coming out of this. There's a reason they made her number one.
I could see it being Fallon Henley.
It would make sense with this heel turn,
I
right?
I think, yeah, I don't know if... I think Sol, especially winning in a ladder match, I think it's often better to have a heel.
Yeah.
Like, think Adam Cole was the first one the first time.
Right.
And then you can have people chase.
Well, if Fallon wins it in a ladder match, she could put it on the line against Julia at
Heatwave,
right? So there is that. But yeah, either way, like I'm a fan of kind of a few of these. But who you see being the six in
the match? I'd see Sol, Thea. I could see Meechan in this. Fallon, Lash, and...
Jada?
Kalani.
Oh, I guess with the history here with Fallon, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jada, like, they're putting high here, and they showed her, but she doesn't have a story.
I don't know if she's quite ready.
No, she's got a story yet going on, but that could change. But yeah, there you go. There's our combine harvester.
Yeah, great song. Moving on, we then have, this is where we get the tweet about Sexy Red. And then we get our next match, Duke Hudson versus Lexis King.
I'd rather Sexy Red come back on the screen.
I can't, like, now Booker in Lexis King matches, he's like bigging this guy up to be the best guy in the world. Booker's the kind of guy that would love Lexis King and then on his podcast be like, yeah man, that Will Ospreay, just, I don't know.
No, I don't
see it.
But you know, you gotta do reality of wrestling, and then Booker's in your corner.
Oh, okay. Is that why? Has Lexis done that?
I'm not saying look at the trend, but look at the trend.
Did Malik and Idris be like, oh, we're busy that weekend?
You know what? Never seen them advertise for one of those shows. Yeah. Just saying. Young NXT wrestlers, you want to get over? Ask Sean if you can do reality of wrestling, because Booker asked.
Duke delivers this huge chop to King, which King, like, sells pretty well. Like, it kills him. Then Duke just starts throwing him around the ring with suplexes. There's a sunset flip from Duke for a two. King comes back with a chop block and then his running elbow or whatever it is to the back of the head. It looks terrible.
Yeah.
It's Hidden Blade. This is not.
It's the dull blade.
He just runs. I don't even know what part of the body he hits him with.
I don't even know what he's doing.
It's terrible.
He hit a super kick as well.
Well, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
King then tries to leave, but this is when Ridge Holland comes out.
Oh, yeah.
And so King runs back into the ring, gets punched by Duke, but Ridge has now slid a chair into the ring, which kind of distracts everyone. As the ref gets rid of it, Duke turns into a super kick from King, and then the coronation for the win.
This is like your buddies are getting in a scuffle, and then your one friend who's new to the group is just a little too extreme. He's like, oh, what are they? They're fighting? Oh, better get my fucking gun. It's like, no, Ridge, what are you doing? Why are you throwing a chair?
Frank Reynolds.
Yeah, why are you throwing a chair into the ring, bro? Chill, man. Maybe you should retire. Shit. What the fuck? Anyways, that causes King to win. So I guess storyline-wise, cool. But like, oh, man. King sucks.
King is so bad. I like Duke. Duke is a bit of a throwback, but I've got into Duke Hudson matches before.
Yeah.
Like, he's pretty fun. But this just everything. The weird interference with Ridge didn't work, but Lexis King, it's just his offense is so boring.
Yeah.
So dull. I don't see it with this guy at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to give him the chance. He's definitely become a hateable character on TV, but when it comes to his actual wrestling, like, this is not heel heat. This is, I don't want to say X-Pac heat, but you know what I mean. That Scrappy Doo heat. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Mm. Noam Dar is then asked what happened
there.
And Noam says, well, Trick got his lights knocked out. And then he's asked, where's Lash? And he just goes, next question. No more, no more. This is where Javon Evans confronts Noam. And Noam calls him the shiny new toy and says, it's not the time to try me. And if you don't believe me, ask Trick. And this has been announced for next week. Noam Dar versus Javon Evans.
Nice.
Could be pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, Javon Evans, like, he's this up-and-coming kid here that's signed to NXT. And so far, he's been very impressive. And going up against someone like a Noam Dar who is, you know, looking like our number one contender for the NXT title, like, I think the actual wrestling next week in this match could be pretty good. So I'm expecting a bit of a sleeper hit here. So tune in to NXT because this one could be good.
We then get a video from Jasmine Nix, who is explaining that Thea is the ultimate underdog who wants to be everyone's friend. But last week she showed exactly who she is, an animal who broke JC Jane's nose. And we see pictures of JC, like, after the her nose got shattered and that she needed surgery. She's currently recovering from surgery. And Jasmine says if it was up to her, Thea would not be in NXT. She wishes JC a speedy recovery and wishes that Thea pays for the crime.
Damn.
So I'm sure we'll get this down the line. Thea versus Jasmine Nix.
Yeah, but yeah, I hope JC's all right.
The it looked pretty bad. Yeah,
nasty. She was bleeding a lot last week, so.
We then cut straight to Thea, who's mad at Jasmine here. And Ridge comes up and goes, guys, it's to the whole of Chase U. I'm so sorry. I never meant to cost you the match. But every time I see Thea, I can't help thinking about my daughter. And I just want to grab a steel chair and
this is so stupid. Oh, man. Oh, I feel like a broken record. But, like, they're really trying with this guy. And, like, Ridge seems like he's fine. He can cut promos. He can wrestle. I don't understand why we're still going with this character. And I don't even know how they made me hate it even more. Because at first, it's a guy who, I used to play rugby where, you know, it's a physical contact sport. Then I became a wrestler. And then I kept injuring people. And, oh, my God, I keep injuring people, and I keep injuring people. I'm just going to retire. No, Ridge, you shouldn't retire. Okay, I'm not going to retire. In fact, I'm going to help out these guys. I'm going to get a steel chair and be angry and then realize, like, oh, I messed up. I'm so sorry. Okay, cool. And then on top of that, if you even think that is a good character or whatever, I don't care. Now you're like, I just kept thinking of my daughter when I saw you out there. What? No. What does that have to, like... I think
they're trying to portray him as this, like,
nice guy,
super nice guy who's
got the Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what they're going for, but they haven't done a big enough switch to then he snaps and goes insane.
He throws chairs in the ring.
Has he? Like, everything he's done has been, he accidentally slammed a door on someone's hand. He squeezed a bear hug a little too tight.
Right.
He slid a chair into a ring. It's not like he's just, like, completely lost his mind and ripped someone's head off.
Maybe he should.
But, like, he should. Yeah. If they want this character to work. But he's too in the middle. He's just this nice guy who is slightly aggressive.
How about, like, Chase U, they realize, like, something like the Festus thing? Ring a bell?
That's the kind of character I'm thinking of with him.
Like, you ring the bell and all of a sudden he's a killer or something? Like,
yeah,
fuck, I don't understand at all. I think it's one of my least favorite characters. Like, fuck, it's so bad. Nothing will be as worse as this character for me.
I think it's something, because from what I read, this was a character that Ridge pitched. And I see it on paper, like as we said, the Festus thing, the Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing. On paper, I see it being like, yeah, that would be cool. I'm a big dude, but I'm a pretty nice guy. Like, how about I play into that? He's not the monster. He hasn't shown the monster at all any of these matches.
Yeah, you're telling me storyline-wise here, like, oh, he's mentioning his daughter and stuff like that. Okay, the storyline here, we keep using fucking Lexus King as an example here. The storyline to get this character over as what you're trying to portray is you have him talk about his daughter in a babyface promo. Fucking have his daughter on TV. FaceTime his daughter, mention his daughter, whatever.
Thea hanging out with his daughter.
Anything. And then Lexus goes, ah, you and your fucking daughter, you're fucking losers. And then all of a sudden he just like...
He skins him alive.
He eats him. And then you're like, and you're like, oh shit, maybe no one should like mention this guy's daughter.
Storms into the women's combine with Alexis King's head.
Like, yeah. So then you're like, oh shit, maybe like this guy's a good guy, but like if you get personal with him, like the monster comes out. Instead, it's like, oh, I just, you know, I wrestle.
Instead, Ilya's thriving on Raw. Like,
it doesn't make any sense.
The first guy he hurt.
It's so baffling. So they need to fix it. And, like, it's bad. I think it's one of my least favorite gimmicks. Like, it's up there of, like, all time. I can't stand. This is wrestling. This is you're fighting in the match. You hit people with chairs. Why are you getting angry and upset at yourself because you hurt people? That's... Go watch go be on The Bachelor or something, Ridge. Go on a Survivor.
He wouldn't want to hurt the women's feelings.
Go on someone. Oh, I guess he's married with kids. But like, go somewhere else if you don't want to hurt people. This is wrestling.
I mean, he's not saying that anymore. To be fair, he wasn't saying he's worried about hurting people.
Now he just should hurt people.
He's now just Thea's his daughter.
Like he's gonna join Chase U.
Yeah, I guess so.
Chase U gets Ridge Holland.
Is Chase U becoming NWO at this point? Is that any way too many? I like the old Chase U, you know? Yeah. Bodie, Andre, and Thea.
Yeah, now we got, like, whoever
Duke,
this guy.
Duke is, like, the Big Show. He then came in, giant. And then I guess Riley is X-Pac. And now we're getting into Virgil territory, aren't we?
Yeah, the Chase U Wolfpack with Ridge. Fuck. I feel like we had other people in Chase U.
Who was the guy who kept kicking out? Mike or something like that? Get the fuck out,
Steve.
Mike. Steve.
Yeah, anyway, so coming soon to NXT, Ridge joins Chase U.
Yes. This is where we get the tweet from Shawn Michaels inviting Drake and Kendrick Lamar to settle their beef.
Well, I mean, Vic does a good job of mentioning that Shawn has a expertise in dealing with beef with Canadians. And Kendrick, in the, I'd say, the final shot of the beef, he does mention Sweet Chin Music.
Okay.
Sweet Chin Music, Don't Pass the Ox. And people right away were like, oh, he's talking about Shawn Michaels beating up a Canadian. Mm. So good for Shawn to... I bet you Shawn showed up the next day at the PC and every wrestler came up to him like, Shawn, do you know that you've been kind of mentioned sort of kind of in a weird niche way? And he's like, let's do something about it. Let's invite them. It's not like back in like the good old days when you'd have, you know, like... What, Trump on Raw, the fake Trump, the fake presidential people fighting each other and shit, like the good old days.
Right. Next week we'll get Sol Ruka versus Izzy Dame in a qualifying match, Ivy Nile coming back to NXT to take on Lash Legend in a qualifier, and Tony D'Angelo versus a member of the No Quarter Catch crew, and Javon Evans versus Noam Dar.
Nice. Yeah, definitely looking forward to the Dar-Evans match.
We go to our main event for the NXT Women's Championship. Chelsea Green challenging Roxanne Perez. Chelsea very over with this crowd. Lots of Chelsea chants here.
Yes, a great little callback and moment here with her going from backstage to Gorilla and she bumps into Robert Stone.
Yes, that's right.
Mr. Stone, who they have history with here. So.
Do you think they'll pair them up again?
Honestly, yeah, do
Stone
it.
Doesn't have anyone now.
Oh. Pour one out again.
Right.
I forgot, man. I'm still not taking it.
Yeah.
He's somewhere out there in the woods drinking beer. How's Vaughn? We need to see how Vaughn's doing. We're gonna have to get back into that. We're gonna have to see how Vaughn's
doing. Do you think Stone's kids are taking care of him still?
They're like, maybe if you brought us actual good brownies, we would be still would be friends. But you know what? Put Stone with Chelsea again. Why not? And Vaughn should go to All Japan.
There is a way they could, you know, because it's always like Adam Pearce is like Chelsea's just in his ear and he's like fobbing her off all the time.
Right.
Or now she's brought a manager to like do his work, her work.
Right, right, right.
It like storyline wise could work.
Yeah.
Roxanne delivers these stiff elbows. Green boots her and then follows up with the Rough Rider and then hits this kind of running flatliner. There's then a basement dropkick from Roxy right to the face and then climbs up the top and delivers a Rana off the top rope. Roxanne then goes for these like running uppercuts in the corner but gets caught with a release German suplex from Chelsea, who follows up with a missile dropkick of her own for a two count. And then they're both trading roll-ups. Rocks runs the rope and then catches Chelsea with a kind of pop rock. She's going for pop rocks. It was kind of a sunset flip. Didn't get all of it, but puts Chelsea away 1-2-3.
Yeah, a little unfortunate there. I think Chelsea just sold it as a sunset flip kind of thing, which the move really is just a code red kind of thing. So maybe Roxanne, I know she has upgraded the heel character with the finish with the crossface, but maybe also adding something else, because it does kind of look weak sometimes, depending, but everything else was cool. That crazy Rana off the top was nuts from Roxanne, and it was very nice. A smile to many faces, I'm sure, when we saw the... What is the Rough Rider called now?
Is it Radio Silence?
Radio Silence? Yeah. Okay, yeah, from Chelsea. I thought that was pretty fun, but overall fun match, and Chelsea is a character that gets over with people. Like, she's pretty funny. I've loved her through the years.
Yeah, she's a character that, because of her character, they don't often allow her to actually show what she can do in ring.
Yeah.
Because her character kind of takes over. And I think she can be quite good. I thought this was pretty decent. I like that they're giving Roxanne like a solid title reign now.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like that Ava in story is just throwing matches against her, because Rox's first run, she had the one defense, right? It was Mako, and then lost it in the ladder match.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think now she's having the proper title run she kind of deserved. But yeah, wasn't bad. As we said, I could see Meechin potentially facing Roxanne down the line. Although she might be in that North American
The Combine, that's right. Thing. Yeah, I didn't think it got to like a next level, but it was nice to see Chelsea. And like we've said in the past, like, yeah, she's really funny, but when comes time, she can wrestle too, so I wouldn't mind seeing more of her.
And then just before NXT goes off the air, we see the family beating up Miles Bourne and Damon Kemp and loading them into the back of their car, into the trunk, and then they drive off, and Dempsey comes out holding his cup, and he's like, whoa, where did everyone go?
Like the John Travolta meme?
Yeah. So I imagine this is, now we know,
he does.
It's got to be Dempsey.
Yeah, so before he gets in the car, Tony looks at the camera and speaks to him. And he's like, he keeps calling him Charles, Charlie. Charles, you think you're in control? You think you have the power? No, no, no. I'll show you control. And then he gets in the car and drives off. So, yes, Tony is basically now forcing Charlie Dempsey next week to face him for this cup on the line. So that's also sounds like a pretty good match. We'll get some great suplexes and some submissions out of there. Italian Kurt Angle versus Regal's kid.
Yeah.
Book it. Can't wait.
So I think that's next week as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
So there you go. That was NXT.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there was a blowaway match on tonight's show, but I also didn't mind tonight's show. I actually quite enjoyed the Combine stuff. I kind of... it was cool seeing Wes Lee back. Trick Williams, Noam Dar thing is interesting. It was a fine show, but I think it was, we've just come off the back of a few like quite strong weeks, I think, and I thought this was a bit of a dip this week.
Yeah, it's fine. I think going forward it'll take a bit for NXT to bounce back, because we just got like our roster raided a little bit, right? Like, we lost a lot of top characters over the last month, and really just the last week, where it's like, okay, these people are in fact gone. So it might take a bit to pick up. And you know what? As much as people might critique this version of NXT, and it still might not be as popular, because I find it's still not quite at the popularity level of people watching week to week and everything. But I find that at least it's now doing what like developmental is supposed to do. It's like actually like shuffling things along and moving. And it kind of sucks for the show, because you might get used to a character, and by the time you like them or are invested in them, they could be gone. But that's kind of the way it was originally in NXT.
It also stops it getting stale.
Yeah.
I think we definitely kind of USA, like beginning of the USA Network, we got to a point where it was like watching Undisputed Era and Johnny Gargano and Ciampa, who
sure.
I love, but it's like, what more can you do with them here? They either need to move up or move on.
So I'd say like it's definitely showing that it's still heavy developmental show, and it's great. But it sucks that now, like, okay, Trick is our main champion, and we're going toward like the match with Noam Dar should be pretty good, and I'm hoping it really does slap. But it's pretty much like start from the ground up from a draft, because we're seeing on this week's episode already, like, all these new talent and faces that don't necessarily show up week to week, including the tag team that debuted last week, are already 2 weeks in a row on TV and winning matches now. So they're really, like, going forward. And, like, we saw releases. They're going to cut people when it's time to cut people. And, like, unfortunately, as maybe fans get mad at that, like, that's just how it works. Like, why keep people in this place if it's not working?
And they'll be bringing people in as well. We'll have Julia starting soon. We theorized on Sunday's show that Ethan Page could be a good fit for
NXT, be a great
and
pick.
Stuff like that. Yeah. So it's always changing.
Yes, exactly. So you know what? This week's episode wasn't that great, but I wasn't pissed off. I wasn't pissed off like Gigi Dolan just walking out.
No.
Not quite there yet. But so next week has some wrestling that I'm definitely interested in seeing there. But that's what we thought. We also go to feedback. We have a Facebook group you can join. Search Poison Rana. There's a page to like, but also a group to join. And we post feedback threads up here on Tuesday nights to get some thoughts from some people. So would you like to read one?
Sure. We go to Magan, who says, the big expose on Trick Williams resulted in a title match with Noam Dar. Lash being conflicted over him and Metaphor might make the difference. The women's combine vignettes were well done, and it's a novel way to determine the field for the ladder match. The opening video package for Wes was moving. To say his recovery was miraculous would be an understatement. He looked like he didn't miss a day as the North American title scene looks crowded. Roxanne Perez versus Chelsea Green was a solid main event, as Chelsea was the de facto babyface. Result was never in doubt. Does anyone think Mako will hop the pond for Battleground?
I wish. That's what we were saying last week.
That's definitely unfinished business there with Roxanne. She's been gone for so long, though, now.
Yeah. I think she is still wrestling, but I don't
know. Yeah, she lives in Japan and wrestles there. So I think until they're ready for her to...
Like, that'd be sick. Heatwave.
Yeah.
Do it. Selfishly, we would love to see that because we're going to be there here. But thank you, Magan. And then we go to Frank, who writes in, I know that Brayden was claiming never again, but WrestleMania in Vegas... You going. Never say never, Frank, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm still recovering, man. Still recovering. Definitely wouldn't do as much wrestling I did because I just want to be like...
So I'm going to sit by the pool.
Just go hopping around.
What I do... What is attractive is Mania will start at like 3 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
It'll be done by 8.
Right. Okay, that's true because of the time difference.
Time difference, yeah.
Yeah. Only if John Pollock comes and we can go get stuck in the desert again. Somewhere.
Well, yeah. Sure, though. I think some accommodation might have been booked by people. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you for writing in, Magan and Frank. And again, join that Facebook group if you haven't already. Follow the socials at Poison Rana Pod, Twitter and Instagram to follow all the stuff that we do. And again, Poison Rana in YouTube and your podcast app. Hit that subscribe. Check out the shows that we do. Check out our Backlash review. Check out our chat about the releases. Our chat about Kenny Omega being attacked, and will he or will he not face Okada at All In, and all that stuff on Poison Rana this past week. Check out that show, What Up, Doe, with Way, B, Sino, and myself chatting about the rap beef. Check out all the stuff on the Patreon. We got so many podcasts and all for your entertainment, and we appreciate everyone out there listening.
We really, really do.
We thank you very much. So join us next Tuesday as Sino Evil will fill in.
Yeah.
And we'll chat about all the NXT next week and some updates, I'm sure, on the... I mean, the Drake-Kendrick beef was all fun and games until someone fucking got shot today about it. So maybe who knows what the updates will be by next week. So we'll chat about that too. So thank you, everyone out there. Love and appreciate you. I myself, Brayden Harrington, Twitter, Instagram, at the... Bray D.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And shout out Sexy Red.
Ahoy!
Shake that ass.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.